Hi guys, welcome back to the Big Small Talk Show. I am not Dave, it's Matt. Dave is slowly losing his voice to just the world. He's taking it from him. He's shouting too much at children and random hooligans on his lawn.
Not even my own children.
Not even his own children.
Other children.
So today's show, we've got the standard crew at the moment. We've got Dave,
who
pray for his voice. And we've got Kirk, who pray for his voice anyway.
Yeah.
I want...
In order!
Yeah. My voice will get better. It's real
mine
better
won't.
To go for Kirk's.
Maybe one day he'll have a voice like Morgan Freeman's.
He'll have a voice like a real man, maybe.
A real boy! Oh, boy! Oh, I want to be a real boy!
To me! Let's stop there. So, let's take it back to the start. Let's go back to Coldplay, shall we? Pre-jokes. So, today's theme...
Today's theme is referencing jokes we made off air before the show started.
Yep. So, Paddy McGuinness, everyone.
Yeah.
No larky. No larky.
Was that cough loud? Was.
So, today's theme is movies, but not just any movies. Movies based off Bible stories.
Are we just jumping straight in, are we?
We are jumping straight in,
because that's
apparently.
Not how it usually goes.
I can't remember what we normally do. There's a lot of
I thought we talked about.
Just give him the one task, which is just to intro the show. Just takes the.
Sorry, but on my other show that I do on my own and don't put online, I just go straight into topics.
Well, this isn't.
We do Bible lols first.
No, that normally comes up later.
Hey guys, first we talk and get to know each other, see how the weeks have been. And
so, today's guests.
I've got some.
What do you know about the show? Have you listened to our old ones?
I've got news. I think about these things before they happen.
So, firstly, what's your news, Dave?
Firstly, I kind of need to apologise to anyone that enjoys good spelling in their podcast titles.
Oh.
Because I found out this week, I was on my break at work. I thought, how many podcasts have we done? And I looked back, and the second podcast, which was... Christian messages in non-Christian films.
Yep.
I'd spelt the word Christian wrong.
So what does it say?
Well, it says Christian. It says Christian now. It was Crichton messages in non-Christian films.
Well, at least you didn't get it completely wrong and be like, Christian messages in Muslim films. Yeah. Oh, slip of the hand.
Yeah. The internet's number one podcast about Christianity that doesn't know how to spell the thing.
So watch out for the hidden spell mistake in this week's title.
Yeah, it's all real. If anyone would have found it, I would have given them 50,000 bit dollars.
Ooh.
But I found it. So
you get to keep those.
You get to keep them.
Can I have mine in Dogecoin?
Yes. I would have given them 100,000 in-game currency of the game of their choice.
Did you hear about the guy that had invested a lot into bitcoins and he had thrown his computer out, and then like years later when they were actually worth something, they were all on a hard drive at the local tip and he went looking for them and couldn't find them. So there was literally hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of bitcoins.
That's like the modern buried treasure story.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there aren't people out hunting for that right now. That is...
I don't know if anyone found it, but it might have been crushed. Just lost to the
just
ether.
Just for myself, I want him to be called, like, Davy Jones or Long John Silver.
Davy Jones!
Or just John Silver. Hi, I'm John Silver. Have you seen my hard drive?
It's full of have buried... you seen me booty?
It's full of buried Bitcoin.
I hope he put in like a zip folder.
Pieces of 8-bit information. smashing. Best joke of the podcast, smash. Guys. All downhill from here.
So have we got anything else before we go into the films?
Yes.
Oh.
Lots. My boss is a listener now.
Oh, that's what you say then.
Hold on. You said that before. You said you subscribed them to it without knowing.
But now I know that he listens.
Oh, right, okay.
So this is a bit awkward time-wise. So the last podcast that was aired was the one with the band.
Yes.
Yep.
The music room one.
Music room. That one isn't the last one that we recorded.
No.
The last one we recorded, we couldn't have you on it because we had my mate from Matt at work, and you're not allowed to.
My mate from Matt. Called work.
My yeah. Matt work mate. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And my mate from work called Matt on. And you're not allowed to have two Matts on a podcast.
Before you know it was me.
You could have been.
You've got no proof.
Arr.
Matt's
yeah.
or a Matt.
But yeah, so he came on. So that's the last one we actually recorded because we did them out of order. And then after that one went on the internet, Matt at work had a review with our boss. And he went, "Hey, I've been on the podcast with Dave. You should listen to it."
Oh.
And this is how my boss described it to me the next day. He went, "Oh yeah, I went home last night. I heard your podcast. I listened to it while I was in bed." That's creepy, isn't
it? So, if you're listening
fall
right
asleep?
Now.
Was it my ASMR bits? Was like, "Oh yes.
Possibly,
get
yeah.
To, get to sleep.
Go to sleep,
giving
Dan.
You the tingles."
His name's Dan, so I think we should all say hello to him.
I feel... when I say my Dan jokes, do I need to say Jordan now so you don't get fired?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
possibly. No. Yeah, this is when he slowly realizes we have not been talking about Dan Jordan at all. Talking about a different Dan. It's not really you, Dan.
Dan hates all his employees.
Well, this is the thing. I'm of two minds whether this is going to benefit my career or not. Because, like, first, like, there's one way where, like, we could be really positive about him and be like, "Oh, Dan, he's an excellent boss. He knows how to, you know,
boss
around people really well. He's really good." Like,
yeah, the best at bossing that ever bossed.
Yeah,
if ever a boss there was,
he is the boss.
Dave
of
the boss was
he's great.
Dan the boss was boss.
In
because,
fairness,
because
he's pretty good. See what I've done there.
he is pretty good.
He's a good boss. He's a good boss. But also,
was that the sofa or you?
Don't worry, listener. No one's eating a lion bar on the sly.
It's a peanut lion bar.
Yeah,
that's different.
That's fun. But yeah, he's listening in. So that's good, isn't it? But yeah, it could be bad, couldn't it? Because we could really upset him.
Yes, we could.
Be terrible to him.
So Dan, though,
I'm not gonna
about that pay rise you owe me.
He owes you one as well, though, Josh. All a joking. But yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's your boss?
I've got multiple bosses.
Yeah.
But got one head boss. I recently had my review as well.
Your head boss?
Yeah. Head manager.
Okay.
Apparently I'm pretty good. Apparently I've done some good things that I'm not fully sure I actually did. I'm happy to take the credit for it. They're like, "Oh yeah, you've got loads of people to sign up for gold cards." It's like, "Oh, thanks."
Well done.
I guess. And they're saying how good I am, which I feel great, and it makes me feel bad that
none of the reasons are real.
Partly. But you know, if I'm there next year, apparently they're going to give me higher scores. I'm hoping they don't listen to this because I'm going to uni, so
well,
they don't know that yet.
The key part to not having your boss listen is not to invite people from work on the show. So, because then they
fine.
Just spread it and then people listen. And you think it's good because your listenership goes up, but it's terrible because then your boss sits in the bath.
Your boss.
Boss does a bath.
Sits in the bath or in bed, creepily listening to you talking on a podcast.
I mean, I did used to work with someone that could have come on the podcast because they were from church, but they got fired. So,
ooh,
sorry, Matt Smith. Yeah, not listening now, but I still have my job.
Am I gonna have to beep that? Is that real?
Well, he didn't get fired. He just didn't get rehired.
He was a Christmas temp.
And
I
was also a Christmas temp, and they kept me on, and they want me to stay for a long time. But part of me. I'm going on holiday next month, and I'm not sure if I'm going to come back to work when
you
I finish
at your
my
watch
holiday.
To check the holiday.
I'm going holiday on stages. Holiday in 31 days exactly.
Well, to say, I do have a calendar on my watch.
Oh, right, okay.
It's one of these newfangled watches that does more than tell the time.
They do more than tell the time?
They do. But
really?
They've reduced my hours at work and stuck me on tills for 6 hours every day. If you don't know me in real life, I'm not a person to deal with customers. I don't think anyone knows you in real life. No, no one knows the real me. But I hate dealing with customers.
Real life? Is this just fantasy?
So just imagine me sat, if you can, sat on a till with Mad World playing in the background. It's just like, all around me are familiar faces. Just crying, single tear, as I'm not happy where I work.
It's a beautiful picture.
Worn out faces, worn out places. Bright and early father. I know that song.
Are we
going
to have to pay royalties now?
Not if it's less than 30. It's a cover song, so we don't have to pay royalties.
We know the law.
And we're not claiming revenue, so I'm good to sing the whole of Mad World if you.
Okay.
Gary Jules.
The worrying thing, actually, now I've come to think about it, is I'm ill, so I'm not feeling very well. And part of what's ill about me is that my voice is a bit croaky. It's been worse. But if it now gets, like, severely worse over the next few days, and I'm unable to perform my work, so I stay home, and then I release this podcast, be like,
We recorded
Dave,
it.
You couldn't come in. Is there any reason for that?
Yeah.
Because, when I was having a bubble bath and listening to your podcast.
that's creepy.
He wasn't having a bath. He was in the...
No, just saying, yeah, I listened to you whilst in bed.
He was in bed. That's what he said to me. I can't... There's no way of me spinning that statement, unfortunately. That's what he said. He
lights a few candles around the room.
I was in bed, yeah. Guilty pleasure.
As he is now a listener, can he please clear that up just so it doesn't sound so dodgy?
No, I'm gonna leave it as it is.
All right, fair enough.
We're gonna have the weekly edition of Where Did Dan Listen to the Podcast week?
I'll ask. He'll be like, I didn't listen.
Oh, I got 5 minutes in and I couldn't.
So busy, didn't listen.
I was covering your work because you were dying of a throat infection.
And when you're here, you barely do anything. Get on with it.
Dan Jordan hates his job.
Yes, he does. So yeah, that was fun, eh?
Yeah.
That's a thing. I'm not dying. It's fine. Kickstarter.
Ooh.
It's got like less than 20 days left, guys.
Have we actually got anything?
We still got the £5 from.
So they didn't take it back.
No,
they didn't go.
Well, no. I spoke to Dan this morning. It was a very tense conversation.
So
where I said to him that because last time we talked about Dan and his donation, we said that he wasn't allowed it because
we've already read his email.
We've read an email from him already, and so he's not allowed to make a statement because he donated £5. And we went, no, you're not allowed to have a statement because we've read a complaint. And he's since threatened to complain to Kickstarter.
Oh,
so I've
so that's gonna work well.
I've done the manliest thing.
Kickstarter helps.
Yeah, I've decided to do the manliest thing I can and relent. And he can have a statement if he wants. Please don't take away the £5.
Well, if we don't get the full amount, it doesn't get charged.
It's true, and you can't. Then he gets nothing.
We get nothing.
Yeah, he gets.
We also got no website.
Yeah, he gets nothing as well. But
so take that, Dan.
Yeah, we both win. Apart from we win more.
Yeah,
because we're cool. Because we got a podcast.
Dan's statement's stupid.
So yeah, that happened.
Yeah. Dan was in my hometown not too long ago as well.
Yeah,
rocking up in Doncaster, represent. But off there filming
up in the old donk a donk donk donk.
Yeah, in Donny, as the locals call it. Donny. As they call it up north.
Home of kebabs? No.
Now, is it really your hometown?
That was where I was born.
Yeah,
okay.
But,
just questioning your sincerity at this point.
I was just double checking.
How sure are we that you're actually born in Doncaster? So, well, my driver's license, birth certificate, everything. I don't know why I went straight to driver's license, but. But yeah.
Birth certificate predates that. a number of years, I'd imagine.
Not my fake one. But surprised Dan made it back alive.
Need one of them in Doncaster. Yeah.
Never know. The northern charm of beating up southerners and sacrificing them to the mines.
Yeah.
Sacrificing them to the mines.
To the gods of mines, which is same god. God. But yeah. Talking about violence, the rugby. England versus Wales. There could have been many a fight going on there.
That was...
What you couldn't see there is Dan... Dave was...
Dan Dave
was pretending to throw me a rugby ball there. Like, a bit of a backstage magic. He wanted me to talk about rugby. I was committed to the first joke.
My gestures were so large, you could probably be picked up by microphones.
I went from rugby to some sort of ballet flinging of the arms.
Yeah.
But the rugby, sorry to all the Welsh supporters out there, but you gone done last.
Yeah, you did.
And the English, although messing with my emotions near the end and trying to let the Welsh win, held out for the victory. Was there something you wanted to talk about other than that?
Yeah, I had a great story.
It's crazy.
I got a great story. So, Kate is Welsh, my wife.
Kaken.
She's Welsh. So, I'm not going to lie, we didn't watch the England-Wales game last night, just because it presents marital difficulties. So, we tend to avoid it, because as an Englishman, I naturally feel superior, so that I don't feel I need to like be too over the top with my support for England. I just watch and go, well done, good job,
jolly
chaps.
Good show, what?
Good show of it. You show 'em. But she is more like, come on, what do you think you're doing? Like, she didn't watch the game, but she was like incandescent with rage when she found out how many penalties they give away, like.
Didn't, how dare they?
Yeah, didn't like... This might not be right, because I didn't watch the game. Is it correct that Wales scored more tries, but they gave away more penalties, and that's how we won?
Don't know, I didn't watch it.
If I'm honest, so I was at work from the start of it, so I only caught the tail end of it, working life. But we scored some tries. I know they scored two very close to each other. So, like,
that might be it.
Hitting the... It was after the 65th minute, so less than a quarter of an hour left of the game, they scored two tries and then were close to a third. And I was getting flashbacks to the World Cup, didn't know what was going on. I was praying for the Welsh to fail.
It's like the world of sports against my marriage, because you have the rugby world, you have the Six Nations every year,
yeah,
which is always challenging, yeah. And then you have the Rugby World Cup, where who's in the same group as England?
Yeah.
If Wales are in a different group, I can support them, no worries. But they're in the group with England, no way. And do you know who's in England's group in the European Championships of football this year?
Is it Wales?
It is Wales,
it's
yeah.
Wales!
That's right, yeah. In our group again, so again, I can't support.
You're screwed.
Yeah, yeah, right. And I think it's filtering through to the kids, because we were over half term. Me and the kids and Kate, obviously, because that'd be weird if we weren't. We're in Wales, so Kate's parents.
Just left her behind.
And there was rugby on.
Yeah.
And it wasn't England versus... No, it wasn't England versus Wales, because that was last night. It was like... I think it was Wales versus France.
Yeah.
Something like that. And we're sat in a Welsh living room with me, English, two children, and then all Welsh people, all of Kate's family. And we're watching the game, and then suddenly DJ, my oldest one, starts cheering when the French score. And Kate's like, no, DJ, do you support Wales? He's like, no, I'll support the other ones.
People are France.
And she's like, no, this isn't England. This is France. Wales, France. Well, I don't remember the team. This is France versus Wales. And he's like, no, I want to support the France in this one. And then he was like, proper, like, whenever he's like, he actually went a few times. Come on, France! Like against the old Welsh.
So, when was this that you watched this?
This was a few weeks ago. This was on half term, so it was before the break. I can't remember.
Did you say it was the 13th?
Possibly.
in which they were playing Scotland.
Was it Scotland?
Or on the 27th, they were playing France.
It probably 27th. I don't know exactly. But it was just great, because it wasn't just Kate's reaction, but just like the weary shake of the head from Kate's dad. Like,
you've
oh,
raised your children wrong.
It's contaminated this child beyond the...
We can no longer take him out in public. He is our shame.
We will hide him. It was a good time, though. I felt proud of DJ there, because he was up against some peer pressure to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
To support the wrong side. And he stood up for himself. And although he did support France, which is... we're never going to be positive about that. He did it for a reason. And that was to, like, emphatically not support the Welsh. So...
it's good that he's not one of these kids that's half of both and goes with whichever one's winning. Can't trust those people.
It felt like a victory.
That's the most fun.
It felt like a victory, because when he was very young, one of Kate's brothers bought him a full Welsh rugby kit.
Mm.
Which I thought was a little bit...
presumptuous, for one.
Yeah, absolutely. He's never worn it.
Will it fit him now, or is it...
No.
Puts it on one arm. There we go.
Not really. He did wear it once, and he came out in a rash all over. A rash of patriotism. And he took it off immediately.
It looked like a rose on his chest, was it?
And you thought the jokes were going to get worse.
Keep getting better. Getting stronger.
So, Bible lols this week. It's me again. I got a Bible lol. So, who do you do the Bible lols thing?
Oh yeah. Bible lols, it's Bible lols.
That's good, yeah. Well done.
Lol.
Do Wookie. Bible lol.
mine reminds me more of a tauntaun or a sand person. Star Wars.
I don't know why you're doing the visuals.
when everyone thinks sand people, you have to throw your hands in the air with your little musket.
But you just don't care. Yeah.
I care a little bit. So.
One day we'll do a video podcast, yeah?
Yeah.
Just have like, and then we'll all be sat.
That's why they do that.
Yeah, we'll all just be sat in front of like a webcam.
We'll all have our own laptops, and we'll just be like side by side on the video.
We'll have it split in four, yeah? And yeah. We'll just be talking to each other.
They'll be able to see what everyone's doing when they're not talking.
Yeah, texting.
Eating lion bars.
Generally just mucking around.
Crying, because they're here.
This is when they realise that Dan's been on the show the whole time, which means to his face.
He's just put a bit of tape in the corner of the room. We just duct tape him to the wall.
Yeah.
Dan wishes he was still on the show.
He does. Or he doesn't, I don't know. He's probably quite happy to avoid all the effort of having to come on. But anyway, Bible lols. So I've been a bit poorly this week. I don't know if I've mentioned it. Like, I've been trying to keep it
really?
Quiet on the download.
Have you been a bit ill?
Like, I'm quite stoic, me, so don't try to advertise that I'm not feeling very well, but I've been feeling a bit poorly.
You look fine.
Like, no, okay? I'm feeling poorly, all right? I just feel it poorly.
Can't go to school today. Call in sick.
Yeah. Be like, Dan, can't make it to work today. Listen to the podcast yesterday, find out why. Bye. Not really. Anyway, feeling poorly this week, so I've got a very, very simple Bible love for you.
Okay.
Very, very simple. It is simply in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, when... signing off from his letter, Paul advises us to greet one another with a holy kiss. and that is a Bible lol, because you just imagine if that was a thing that would have... imagine if that's the thing that we would have taken hold on of as Christians. Has been like, that's going to be something that Christians do from now. Yeah. We just greet each other with holy kisses.
I heard the Holy Spirit has taught us to speak in tongues. So is that a tongues a thing, right?
But what?
Hi. We wouldn't want to confuse those two no. parts of the Bible, would
we? We were blessed by tongues.
Oh, greet each other with holy tongues. Oh, what did you say?
What would you class as a holy kiss?
I don't know. When you...
Where would you kiss someone for a holy kiss?
Oh, I see where you're going with that. That's filthy.
No,
that's disgusting. Is it
the nostril?
Is it cheek?
Like, what's a holy kiss?
I don't know. What you were getting at was not a holy place to kiss someone. No. Let me be real.
It was too holy a place.
That's fine. We didn't say anything specific.
No.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. I'll allow it.
Thank you. That one's staying in. All the others being cut out.
Can you imagine how weird it'd be just like rocking up into church? Hey, how are you? Great. Thanks for the greeting, guys.
Yeah, everyone you meet.
Yeah. We'd have to have the most attractive people on welcome team, even more than they currently are.
Imagine walking in and just this... I'm just a giant, like, 6 foot tall rugby, or tall, like, rugby playing guy just coming up to him. He's like, welcome to church.
Imagine the volumes of chapstick the churches would have to buy just
imagine
on a
the
Sunday.
Therapy Ooh. For new people.
Just people, like, looping back in. You've already greeted you. I think I left the building, so I need another holy kiss, please.
Is that how people meet their future husbands and wives yes. there?
Through welcome tea.
So, that welcome. One was a good kisser.
You just
going to come back to that one.
It'd essentially make church like a relationship pick and mix. You can just try a bit of everything.
But you always get like the old person there with like the teeth falling out. So, please don't kiss me. Like one side... Almost you're streaming in and there's one person you particularly want to go to, but you end up with another person.
Just like
Matt's thought about this way too much.
Sloppy kisses would be avoided. it is a good thought. I do enjoy it. Maybe we should try it. I think the other thing that would be funny is if we just started doing it in church.
Don't tell anyone.
By doing it, I want to clarify.
What are you doing there, Dave?
I mean, holy
Welcome
kisses.
To church.
Yeah. Just be like, hey, how are you?
Imagine how long it would take as well, because if you have to greet everyone with a holy kiss, you're sort of like, we're 4 hours late for the first service. I mean, I'm still greeting people. We had a bunch of Austrians at church today.
I suppose...
To greet all of them individually.
Yeah. I'm fine.
I'm not dying. I'm fine.
I suppose if you just... had someone with like massive red lipstick. Or if you didn't want it, you could put like lipstick on your own face.
I've been welcomed.
I've had the holy thing, the kiss thing, that's done. I got it on my face, it's fine. I'm like, no, you've not had enough of a holy kiss, you come here.
All the different people have different coloured lipsticks, so they know if they've done you or not. It's like, oh, that one's got red, yep. No. Oh, you need a blue one, you do.
Report to the front desk for a blue kiss, you. Off you go.
John's waiting.
Big John.
Little John. What?
Big John at the front.
Just got these bulking great massive men with lipstick on. Just ready to kiss people. Like, welcome to church. Come here.
This is a very uncomfortable vision of the near future we're painting.
I'm just imagining Dan Yates now with his beard and... Coming in.
Great big bushy beard.
Just cover the whole thing in lipstick and press it up against people.
I think we should move on from this dystopic future that we've, we've
next
created
week's
for
Sunday service.
Yeah.
So films.
If you go to church, next time you're in church, just try greeting everyone with a holy kiss. Just and then send us an email to the email address, which is ours, which is bigsmalltalkshow@gmail.com. Yeah. And let us know how you got on. Or let us know how you got on.
Or film it and send us the video so we can laugh at it and talk over it and not show it because this is a audio podcast.
But it could still go on our website.
It could go on our website. If you
donate.
The website of the Big Small Talk Show.
Sorry.
The Big Small Talk Show, sorry.
I don't know
WordPress.
That one.
WordPress.
Big Small Talk Show, sorry.
That, going into...
How do you spell blah, 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 blah.
Lots of woofs.
Sprechen die Deutsch.
So, films are good, aren't they?
Are we actually going to say the website, or are you just going to go into films?
We sort of said it.
Okay, then, Kurt. Say the website. Go for it.
I don't know it.
Ah, yeah. Because it's so easy to say the
Big
website, right?
You're the one that does it.
/WordPress
You've all got it wrong.
Isn't it?
/MattFry.wordpress.com Jordan.miles@thisisonechurch.com
Any complaints, yeah. Send to Jordan.miles.
Dan@Dave's Boss
at work.
It's Big Small Talk Show.
.wordpress.com
I was about to put my company name. I really was. Like,
it's Big Small Talk at Toys R Us Gloucester.
Yeah, Big Small Talk Show at nicheinsurance.
I'm pretty sure at work once I answered the phone as if I was at church again. Because I volunteer at the church and I've had to answer the phones like, hello, this is One Church Gloucester. And at work, if I've got a phone, it's like, hello, this is Toys R Us Gloucester. I think I answered once like, hello, this is One Church Gloucester. They hung up fairly quickly.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think they were... thought the church was going to get them the toys they wanted.
So,
and it took me a while till afterwards to go, did I answer as one church then?
So a colleague of mine over Christmas answered the phone at HMV and went, hello, Burger King, how can I help? It was like, as soon as he said it, he went, no, I didn't mean Burger King, I mean HMV. Don't
leave me.
Don't hang up.
Well, I'm a pro on the phone because that's what I do all day, and I very rarely make any crazy mistakes apart from all the ones I do.
Last time I called you, you answered as if you're at work, so I just want Dave, not David. From
last time you called, I was like, wait a minute, yeah, I'm just on the phone, shut up. And then I spoke to you.
Yeah.
Can't believe you missed that. So films are good, aren't they?
They're the best.
Films are very good.
Have you guys seen Lord of the Rings?
Don't we like films? What we should talk about is all the films with non-Christian films with Christian messages.
Oh!
Or the Crichton films with... We're not going to do that.
So, films based off Christian messages. Is that what we're going for?
Yeah, so... Yeah, essentially Bible films made by Hollywood.
Yeah.
And whether they're any good or not. Whether they're any good.
Weather, like when it rains a lot and there's floods, like in film Noah. Oh, what a link. What a twist.
Oh, no.
Oh, you should be exiled for that. Like the guys in Exodus, Gods and Kings, with Christian Bale.
Get out of here, said Pharaoh.
In the Ten Commandments. Another Christian film.
Come on, Kurt, get in here. You don't want to be left behind.
Hey! Nicolas Cage.
Was that good?
Don't think so. But we'll leave it in anyway.
Yeah.
So, Noah.
We'll start with Noah, shall we?
Yeah.
We're starting at, like, the bottom of the pile.
Let's start with Noah, which is rated 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Great. I really like that you have that information to hand and not at all that information in your hand via your phone.
Via my phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I know off by heart that film. A man is chosen by his world's creator to undertake a momentous mission before an apocalyptic flood cleanses the world. It's just off the top of my head. I should write like this.
Well,
I should be like,
you should write
Darren
reviews.
Aronofsky, the writer of the film, and director.
What did you think about it? So what did you think about what did you think about now? Was it good? Like, did you enjoy it? How did you think about it?
Well, from what I've seen, I thought it was rather strange.
Okay, so just to be clear, Kirk's was half of one of the films we're talking about.
Also,
so.
Spoilers alert, there's going to be spoilers.
Yeah, because these films need to be spoiled because they're not that good. Although, actually, some of the later ones are pretty good. We're doing Noah, Exodus, Gods and Kings, Ten Commandments, kind of.
And Left Behind.
And Left Behind. So, at least, like, one or two of those films is okay.
Yeah.
This one isn't, though. Like, Noah's pretty bad, right?
Yeah. It's a... So, when you think Noah, you think, yeah, the ship, all that. What you don't necessarily think is mud angels, massive armies of people eating the animals on and trying to kill babies.
Yeah, well, in Genesis, which where the story is, Genesis 7, 8 and 9, there's clearly 2 hours, 10 minutes of
yep.
a film there. So
yep.
I don't know how they came up with the rest, but...
I mean, that's why they split The Hobbit into 400 movies, just so...
It really... That's possibly the reason this film doesn't really work, is because they just thought, I really like the idea of Noah, but if we can't do the story better than Evan Almighty, what are we doing here? We need to add some stuff in.
Like Ray Winston.
Ray Winston,
Let's just stick in your stereotypical London mobster guy. That will make a Bible film a Bible film.
Yeah, some rock monsters.
They were weird.
We'll have some planted jungle for him to make stuff out of.
Anthony Hopkins as well. Stick him in there.
He was a bit washed, wasn't he?
Yeah. Whenever I see him, I just think Hannibal Lecter as well. So when they're bringing him out, it's like, oh, hey, grandfather.
I don't know, man. It seemed to be made by people... who didn't really like the story that they're trying to tell.
People like Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, it's like he didn't like it.
And Russell Crowe.
It's quite epic, I suppose.
I think my favourite thing was that they got Russell Crowe to play Russell Crowe's father at the start. Because it sounds like, oh yeah, there's Moses. And hey, wait, that's not Moses, that's just Russell Crowe. Playing Russell Crowe. That's Russell Crowe's father. Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. Do you mean Noah?
I meant to say Noah and Moses and...
I think this is going to happen a lot. Is going to happen a lot.
So I may have watched the film with Moses in yesterday, so I'm just going to use Moses a lot.
Excuse me.
And Aaron, who was not played by Aaron, for he played Joshua, which slightly confuses me as well. Actors' names and characters' names confuse me.
Merging. But yeah, there was the bit where he tells the story of creation and it does that whole, hey, look, it all happened by evolution thing, which was thought I was interested in a Bible film. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Like, we talked about this the other week about how, like, you know, you can believe in evolution and believe in the Bible at the same time. But that just seemed, like, specifically keyed to, like, the people who didn't want to like this film would specifically not have liked that particular reference.
I like one of the running themes in the film seemed to be how some of the times they're like, so we're not making this just for Christians, so let's just try and come up with ways of making it seem more plausible by putting in some weird thing. Like, I'll mention some more when we get onto like the next film, but just let's just put this in so we don't upset the non-Christians in the audience that have already made the decision to go and see a film called Noah based off a Christian story and others.
So, did you like the decision in the film to...
cast Russell Crowe as Russell Crowe and Moses and Noah?
Russell Crowe as Moses. Did you like the decision in the film to have the flood happen, like, probably about 40 minutes before the end of the film?
I thought it was interesting. One thing I really did like about the film was how they added in extra animals, which was a bit weird, until later on you see Ray Winston... munching his way through the
scaly dog,
and you think that's a bit clever, because if he was munching his way through a giraffe and you're like, but wait, they're still around,
like pulling a peacock feather out of his mouth.
Delicious raw meat.
That was nice, I suppose.
But I had to say, like, because there's quite a bit where it's just on the boat and nothing much happens, which I found to be a bit of almost a sudden stop to the film. Because after a massive battle scene, which not really expected in Noah, is it?
Yeah, it's middle.
Have a almost a siege happen on the boat.
Yeah, what I was gonna do was like go through. My plan was like, I'm gonna sit down, YouVersion Bible app. Let's tick the things that they get right and tick things they get wrong. And, you know, boat.
Yeah.
They got that right.
Rain.
Rain. Yeah. Animals.
Yeah.
Man called Noah.
And his family.
Yeah, although not the right amount. But anyway,
not,
it's fine.
Not the right amount. And one was played by Emma Watson.
Joel, I don't think I'd mind, though. That's the thing. Like, I'm not... Possibly the story of Noah isn't, as told in the Bible, isn't that cinematic.
No.
Like, I doubt that when they were writing the like, thing originally, that they were going for, like, oh, hopefully Hollywood will make this into a film, like, and cash in on the film rights one day. Like, that's...
Well, as they were writing the...
Yeah.
Like, yep, many times.
On the papyrus, thinking, oh, isn't the, hope Hollywood picks this up. Like, it wasn't...
Isn't the story of Noah told wrong anyway? Like, everyone just says the animals went in 2x2.
Hurrah, hurrah.
But some of them went in fives. But like, everyone skips over that bit.
It's because they got eaten by Ray Winston.
Ah, right.
We forget about the extras.
Because it says the clean animals go in by fives, but everyone completely overskips that, and no one ever remembers that bit.
Yeah.
They always just go, animals went in pairs.
Just riding on giant pears.
Yeah. Just went in on pears.
That's why they couldn't fit all the animals on. The poor unicorns and velociraptors didn't get it on because there was pears.
No room on a pear to get it.
All the herbivores eating their way through the pears didn't get on. Because
a pear-shaped Minecraft chain. Just yeah, good times. Yeah, I think I could have lived with the film if it was as inaccurate as it is. If it didn't seem like the writers didn't like the story very much.
Yeah. It was as if they sort of didn't read up on it. They're like, so, do you remember that Bible story we used to tell? There was a boat, there was animals,
and
lots of water. And I think he had some family of some sort. That'll do.
Yeah.
That'll do. I just had a crazy grandpa and Ray Winston.
Yeah. I mean, I think possibly what they were trying to do was say, because they don't believe it, so they're saying, hey, if this happened, what a horrible thing to happen.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And we get it. Because I've watched a 2-hour film where they're just trying to drill that one fact into you.
Yeah.
Relentlessly.
As well as the, here, take this sort of medicine thing so you hallucinate. That's you being talked to by God.
Yeah. Like, I get it, guys.
That's... Yeah. You're not Christian. That's cool.
Yeah. Let's move on. Out of 10, what would you give Noah?
5.8 out of 10.
5.8.
Yep.
Oh, right, great. 5.8.
From what I've seen...
from the 50% of the movie that you've seen,
I saw up until the bit with the fight before the ship. When it started to rain, and the angels, the fallen angels, the watchers...
The watchers on the wall. The
watchers are having their...
Who watches the watchmen?
The other watchers.
They're a self-watching organisation. Oh, okay. Go on.
They're obviously having their little fight, and the one dies and goes up, gets taken back. That's where I've finished.
Okay. So you didn't get the whole they want to kill the baby part of it?
You didn't even get to that bit.
So the bit I found really, really strange was the Emma Watson and the grandfather bit.
I'm just going to touch your stomach and
boom. It was like a whole
babies.
It was like a whole Pocahontas thing. You know, when she got touched on the stomach, it was like the whole wind, and she was like watching the wind.
I do think that when she goes away and thinks about specifically what happened there, she was with the grandfather, touched her belly, she became aroused. And went to have relations with a boyfriend. Like, when she thinks back on that series of events, she probably will find it quite creepy. Like,
it was a creepy moment.
I'm just a girl with normal thoughts. I'm suddenly very turned on. Where are you, boyfriend? Like,
but aren't we all by Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah.
When we see him.
He's got like a very, like, sexually arousing finger. I don't know. Can't go anywhere with that thing.
But before we move on, can we
He's like the M&M's guy, but with turning people on.
Skittles.
Yeah.
But can we just talk about how a lot of the film was dedicated to Noah getting ready to kill his own grandchild.
Yeah, that happened.
Because that was very, yeah, interesting choice.
And seriously, why did they need a Ray Winston? Surely they could have just woke up a lion or something.
Yeah.
Or, I was going to say chinchilla.
Oh no, the chinchilla's coming.
Woke up a gorilla.
Or one of the other mythical creatures they could have just stuck on there.
Yeah. A liger. That was
I like it. Those are real.
I know. Real thing.
They weren't all eaten by.
No. Liger. Yeah.
So, speaking of Moses earlier, and the mistakes I made.
Deft. That's the...
That Christian Bale film.
You will get transition of the year for that. No doubt. Segway Awards. Segway Awards
2018. So, Exodus Gods and Kings rated 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb. That's three more than Noah.
So, what I thought with this one, because you guys didn't see Ten Commandments, did you?
No.
No.
Because I didn't ask you to. it just showed up on Sky Movies. Other movie streaming services are available.
I'm fine.
Dan hates Sky Movies.
It just showed up on Sky Movies. And I thought, oh, I remember watching this as a child. And what I remembered was watching, like, the part that would fit on a standard VHS tape. Because that film is 3.5 hours long.
That's sort of like Jason and the Argonauts, where you remember all the good bits and then realise it's a stupidly long film in which happens a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah, crazy. So I thought, as they're essentially the same story, and they're weirdly the same film, because they're based on the same thing.
Both have Christian Bale in it.
Yeah, they do. Charlton Heston, Christian Bale.
Same thing.
Yeah. So I thought we could compare them side by side. And we go through the film and talk about what we liked and what we didn't like.
Yeah. Apart from some.
I don't know what we did there.
You did one of these yet?
So, I thought it was weird. The thing. So, the story of Moses. I'm going to quickly outline it for people who don't know.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And then we'll talk about the things that were there and things that weren't and what was covered in what film. So, Moses is a little Hebrew boy.
Yep.
And he is a slave in Egypt. Well, he's not. He's the Israelites, the slaves in Egypt.
Yep.
And then Pharaoh decides they get too many of them, so they decide to kill the firstborn. Excuse me.
So, all the firstborns are drowned in the Nile.
Like that.
Apart from Moses' mum didn't want Moses to get drowned in the Nile. So she put him in a basket, sent it off with her daughter, so Moses' sister, to float down the river to Pharaoh's... Was it his daughter or...?
Yes, Pharaoh's daughter.
Yeah, Pharaoh's daughter.
Future Pharaoh's sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So that happens. And then years later, what happens in the Bible is Moses goes to see the Israelites. He's one that's getting whipped or beaten, and he kills in his... kills an Egyptian and then runs away for fear of his life. He then goes and finds a family in the desert, and then a burning bush appears to him and tells him to take his shoes off, and then says, "You gotta go back, man. You gotta go back." And
it specifically says, "I am."
Yeah, he calls himself I am. Yeah. Not Moses, the bush. It's God. It's God. If you weren't clear. If that wasn't clear, this is why they don't get me to write, you know, Bible translations. And then he goes back, and then there's 10 plagues on the land. And then Pharaoh's like, "Won't let him go," and then more plagues, 10 total. And then in the end he goes, "Just get out."
And then as they leave, Pharaoh changes his mind as they're running off. They get to the Red Sea, in which they think they can't really get across. Moses slams down his staff. Sea splits. They cross. Pharaoh's chasing after with his army. His army gets crushed by the waves as they come back down, and the Israelites wander the desert for 40 years, which is a bit of a downside because, well, first of all, there's the Ten Commandments, but they start worshipping a weird gold bull.
A gold bowl.
Gold bull. Get punished for it, hence wandering for 40 years until the whole generation of Moses and that lot are dead, and Joshua takes over.
Fair enough. Yeah. Good story. Good story.
Yeah, thank you. Joshua.
The question is, though, wandering the desert for 40 years, do they ever stop?
Do they ever stop?
As in, did they just continuously walk and wander for 40 years straight, not stopping?
Well, pretty much. They would stop and start almost going in circles for 40
they
years. Getting
stop.
A
they stopped, though. Yeah.
But never in Canaan. That's where they wanted to be. But the film, which starred an interesting cast...
I'm back, guys.
I know, we were finished off the story for you.
Yeah, I don't think anyone noticed.
No.
Except for the loud...
I just died
loud,
a little
loud
bit.
Pops on the microphone as you went.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
I just talked over it. But, like the last film, star-studded cast. This one as well. We've got, like, Christian Bale, Ben Kingsley. That was quite a surprise to me. Aaron Paul... who, when you think of a Bible character, I don't necessarily think of Jesse from Breaking Bad playing him.
Yeah, possibly.
And an interesting direction they took.
I thought it was alright. Yeah. All I'd say is, in the Bible, I've looked into it. Because I've discovered that my understanding of the story of Moses is somewhat influenced by the Ten Commandments, which was done in 1951.
Okay.
So, in the Bible, it doesn't say anything about Ramses and Moses. So, like, in this film, and in Prince of Egypt...
all classic.
And in Ten Commandments, it's all, like, he grows up with Ramses, so he knows him.
Yeah,
and then he
like
goes
brothers.
Off, and they're like brothers, and then he gets exiled, and he comes back. And that's not... I looked up, I was like, that's not in the Bible? What? Just that those films. That's
they
embarrassing. That's embarrassing that I hadn't picked that up in the past.
I wanted them to be brothers and all the battles.
Among other things. So, there's that. So that's not in the Bible.
Yep.
No, that... Yeah, that's not in the Bible, but it is in these films.
Yeah.
So, but I suppose that I don't mind that, because that makes it interesting. It makes the thing relatable.
It's almost speculation. It possibly... could have happened that they were close.
Between these two films, like in Exodus, I feel like Ramses and Moses get on quite well.
Yeah.
Like up until, you know, a certain point later on in the film, which we'll get to. Like they get on quite well and they seem,
yeah.
Especially when they're growing up, they seem quite tight. Whereas in the Ten Commandments, they hate each other. Like it's proper, they're fighting over a girl basically. So
ooh, classic.
It's just, yeah. It's on.
So you mean there wasn't the dramatic chase scene like in Prince of Egypt where they're just music playing, they're racing each other and everything gets destroyed?
No.
That's what you can do when you do cartoons, guys.
We should have done Prince of Egypt, but then that would have been three.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good film. In
three
my
Moses
mind.
Film.
Wait, I'll look up what's rated.
You, in your memory, yeah.
Yeah, let me just go back into my mind to tell you that Prince of Egypt... the classic cartoon is rated 7.0 out of 10, higher than Exodus, Gods and Kings.
But that is a genuinely good film, though. That's,
yeah,
that's the
I love
thing.
That film.
But yeah, so they don't get on in the old one, but they do in the new one, and that's pretty good. There's that battle scene where they attack all those people in tents who aren't ready for them. That's pretty nice, isn't it?
They have that little argument at the start of, this is what we're going to do. No, we should attack them straight on.
Like Moses is like, yep, fine, all right.
Yeah. We should attack him straight on.
Great drama, guys.
Yeah.
Attack him straight on. Shut up. All right.
Yeah. It's pretty much Moses in the entire relationship with that. They got on quite well, but everything he says, no.
Yeah.
Fine.
And then both films, there's a bit where they get sent to the Hebrews.
Apart from he sort of volunteers in this one.
Yeah.
Because Pharaoh's like, you're my favourite son, even though you're not my son.
Yeah.
Which I find quite funny. Just a little bit of, oh yeah, my son, you're not good enough.
Did you also find it weird that Pharaoh was a secret agent out of Transformers?
Yep.
Or agent Simmons?
Or the enemy out, bad guy out of Don't Mess With The Zohan.
Yes, that's who I saw when I saw him in there.
He's the bad guy of Zohan, yeah. Comic actor playing a serious role. Bless him.
Serious role.
Bless him. But yeah, that happened. There's a big difference between the two films that I wanted to talk about is how they come to realise that Moses is not an Egyptian. So in Exodus, obviously we know what happens because we've seen it.
Yeah.
So there, Moses goes to the regent's house and says, "You're a liar." And
yeah, basically, you're living like a king. You shouldn't be.
And makes an enemy for life.
Yep.
And then...
short life, but we'll get to that bit later.
Yeah, he comes back and he goes, "I found out, Moses, you're not an Egyptian." And then Ramses has a completely bout of rationality and threatens to cut a woman's hand off.
Yeah, but the thing is, Moses doesn't believe it when he's told. He's like, "You're a Hebrew." And he's like, "Huh, nice story, you're lying." Yeah. And then when Ramses has this woman's arms, like, if the answer is no, he's not a Hebrew, I'm going to cut it off. He basically lies to himself because he doesn't believe he's a Hebrew. He's like, "I'm going to say I'm a Hebrew, knowing that I'll probably die from it because this person's arm is more valuable to me."
In the other film, The Ten Commandments, what happens is he finds out he's a Hebrew. He then goes to visit his mother, but his Egyptian mother goes ahead of him. And then they have a long talk. And then he goes and spends 25 to 30 minutes of the film as a Hebrew slave.
Oh. Nice.
Just living as a Hebrew slave, like putting, like, treading wheat into mud and all of that and getting this. It's interesting that they chose to go that direction.
What I liked in the Gods and Kings thing, though, is as well, is when he finds out and he gets exiled, of course he goes, gets his family, but then there's a whole sort of montage of him training up the Hebrews to fight, and at no point in the film do they have a battle.
I noticed so that.
You're like, fair enough, later on they have battles, but you almost got this whole training montage, and then no fight. He gets them all to point their arrows at one point and then run away from water. It was an interesting one.
I got Moses trains an Israeli army in secret. In the Ten Commandments? No.
No.
In the Bible? No.
No. Yep. And he trains them really quickly and really well. Like, they're dodging spears and hitting things exactly. That's like years of practice, that is.
Yeah, they
in the
they
length
good,
of him to
they?
Grow about half an inch of a beard.
Yeah, they were good. We should probably talk about the thing of Gods and Kings that might have stuck out the most to me, which is obviously the key point in the story of Moses.
The plagues?
The burning bush.
Oh, that one as well.
The burning bush. So, just to cover off the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, it is a very 50s burning bush.
Okay.
It is painted onto each frame. And also the most mumbly god in all of cinema. So it's... And that's how it comes across. It's all like that. So that's the Ten Commandments. But in Exodus, they went a different way.
They went a very different way. Sort of walks up the hill, rock slide.
Yeah.
Face. The only thing out of mud is his face. So in the Bible, it talks about take off your sandals because you're in a holy place. Not able to take off his sandals because he's laid with a broken leg, fully submerged in mud.
Yeah.
We can see a burning bush,
yeah,
but I'm pretty sure he can't see it because he's just looking up at the stars. But there's no real reference to the bush. It's just burning away, blue in the background.
It's like, yeah, it's like a burning bush screensaver.
Yeah.
Was put onto a blue screen, and that's what they used.
Probably is. And then a random boy. That reminds me very much of that monk in The Matrix. That is like, there is no spoon.
Yes.
He sort of stood there like, I am. He was quite like a little sarcastic kid as well, wasn't he? He was a bit like he was back-chatting his parents as he was talking to Moses.
Yeah.
And it's like, well then, this is what I want. I wanted to slap him.
I don't think that was my favourite My favourite bit about it is just...
Yeah.
I don't know what to say, really. It was pretty bad, the relationship with that kid.
It's his first line as well, because he's like, oh, I think my leg's broken, help. And the kid's like, there's more than that broken. Is this meant to be God, or...?
Yeah, because what I take away from that part of the story is that this is, like, a great big God, and, like, I'm going to do something. Like, yeah. This is... I've got a plan, I just need you. I'm going to do something here, and, like, you need to be in awe of me, and look at this.
Yeah.
Whereas what this is, it's, hey, I need you. You're a general. I need you to fight some guys for me.
A stroppy kid.
Yeah.
Wants to get his way.
Look, my toy is stuck in Egypt, and I need you to get it out.
I can't reach. You need to use your height.
Yeah.
And get the cookie off the top jar. Top shelf.
Top jar.
Get
top
the cookie jar. Out of that top jar shelf.
Shelf.
Yeah. Also, just saying, none of these films would work if they were following the Bible. Because in the Bible, it says that Moses was slow of speech. And yeah, so he didn't say any of... Like, when he was talking to Pharaoh in the Bible, it's not him saying any of it. It's him standing behind someone else, Aaron, who's doing all the brother, talking.
Who they sort of touch upon, like, yeah, this is Aaron. Don't really give him much to do, do they? They're like, yeah, this is Aaron. By the way, this is also Joshua who's here. Like, no, I can't fully remember, but I think in the Bible, they don't really use him that much in the start. It's more when they're in the wilderness.
Yeah, it is.
They just sort of like, yeah, here are characters you know that we're just going to insert for inserting it. Just, yeah. So, yeah, we may as well put
him. Again, though, I'd imagine if you've got Christian Bale and you just have him say nothing while someone else talks.
Yeah.
It's probably not that cinematic. So we'll leave it there, that's fine. You mentioned plagues.
The plagues. So, as we know, and as you may know, the first plague is the river turns to blood. Interesting way of doing that in Gods and Kings. So watching it, you get a nice cinematic view of a boat with about five people on. And then what has to be the biggest crocodile I've ever seen. Almost like...
You've clearly not seen Lake Placid, but go on.
Oh, yeah. But it's like something you would see out of, like, Mega Shark versus Giant Crocodile or something. Like a bad, bad film. And this one crocodile comes along, jumps on the boat like a prehistoric dinosaur, starts eating people. Then a crocodile comes and starts eating that crocodile. Then more crocodiles come and eat the people on the boat and the crocodiles. And then one guy's hanging on the mast of the boat and a crocodile jumps up and eats him. Then hundreds and hundreds of crocodiles just start eating each other and attacking each other in the water.
Eating these five guys.
Yeah. Just, and then the blood fills up the whole river and the fish die.
Yeah, it is like a bit... I do like the plagues in this, but it is a bit jarring how they go from, oh, there's some crocodiles. Ah, there's just full dead fish.
Yeah.
Ah. It's all tainted.
Yeah, it was weird, to say the least. But that, like I said, that's almost the idea of how do we get people to believe that the river can turn to water?
The river can turn to water, it already is.
turn to blood. Crocodiles. Lots and lots of crocodiles.
Just crocs. Just
and five men. Crocs.
Just five men with the most blood out of any men in all of history.
Yeah. And what do crocodiles like to eat more than humans? Other crocodiles.
They've got Wolverine's blood that just replicates and goes on. Keeps pumping it out. Excuse me.
You're
listener.
Excused.
That's terrible.
Dan does not excuse you.
Do you think I'm going to cut out all these coughs?
No,
do you think
I don't.
I think I'm going to have the time and the patience for it.
No.
Even on my new app.
You could beep it out as if you're swearing.
Can you name all the plagues in the Bible?
You put us on the spot.
I am, yeah.
I think I can name about five.
Go
so
for
there
it.
Was the river of blood.
Frogs. Locusts.
Flies.
Yeah.
Locusts. The animals dying. Boils. Pure darkness. The last one, I'm going to skip ahead because I've forgotten some. Killing of the firstborn children. There's two more I've mind blanked on.
Yeah. Donald Trump, I think it's one of them.
No, he's just the Antichrist, if you believe that. That far ahead. Yeah. I used to just be a kids leader, so I used to know him all.
If there's anyone that works on Donald Trump's campaign, please make him aware that he doesn't now owe us £5 due to the Kickstarter that we've got going.
No, yep. I thought it was a pound for the name.
No, yeah, it was just five.
Okay.
We've used Donald Trump a few times yeah. now. We keep just mentioning Donald Trump.
Yeah, just,
he's rich enough.
Donald Trump.
We do not endorse Donald Trump.
We're political. Oh.
If we can just get him to church and get him like properly changed, maybe. Yeah. maybe the America might have a chance over the next coming years.
Oh.
Instead of building that wall.
Where did this come from?
Mexico.
Where did this come from? We are political. No,
no, we are. Shall
political. I go through the list?
The plagues.
Yeah. Let's see what I've missed.
Plagues. Donald Trump. Plague of blood.
Bernie Sanders. or the other American running for president.
They're never going to be happy over there anyway.
Blood.
They?
Frogs. Gnats.
Gnats.
Flies.
Gnats are what? One.
Livestock. Boils. Hailstones.
And hailstones.
Locusts. Darkness and firstborn.
So it was gnats and darkness you didn't get.
Yeah, gnats and darkness. Not darkness, it was gnats and hailstones.
No, sorry, gnats and hailstones.
In the Ten Commandments film, because it was in the 50s, they did River of Blood, Hail, and Firstborn. This is a 3.5-hour film about the story of Moses, and they have 3 out of 10 of the plagues. That's pretty bad. That is right there. Also, when the hail falls from heaven, Moses just has a confrontation with 50s Pharaoh, and he leaves dramatically, says, there'll be more plagues to come, and then it starts hailing. But the hail catches fire when it lands.
Oh.
So, again,
so ice turns to fire.
It was such a specific thing that I was like, what? Is that in the Bible? Because why would they make the hail catch fire if it wasn't to do something that was in the Bible or just to be real? Or no,
yeah, it's just cool to set stuff on fire.
Yeah, it's bad.
What I liked about in Exodus as well is the one character they had dedicated to trying to explain all these plagues. Just first of all, I found it weird at first because I'm like, this guy sounds slightly Scottish. It wasn't until I looked up that it is a Scottish actor. He was like, so yeah, the blood that the crocodiles must have knocked up some clay and they're moving around, which, of course...
Whoa.
Of course
really
leads
sorry,
to
guys.
Explosions and smashing things, which leads to the frogs leaving the water, but they die when they're not in water, which leads to the fly. He's just going on different things. Then gets hung.
Yeah. We've got a plague of me punching microphones today. That's... That's what happened in the middle of that. Really sorry. Yeah. That was good. I liked the frogs. The frogs were really good, weren't they?
Just rocking up. Like, it's the random kid that first season that seems terrified of the frogs. Like, he's surrounded by them, but it's only when one of them gets caught on something he's holding that he realises they're everywhere.
It's a frog!
As if he's just walking along like, what is a... Oh, look, a frog. Frogs!
Frogs was always one in the Bible. Were you like... I'm not that scared of frogs.
No.
This isn't that bad of a plague. Like, I can think of worse plagues. Donald Trump.
But there are a lot of frogs in that.
But frogs, like, that actually made me think, oh, yeah, I think yeah. I wouldn't like that.
No.
I wouldn't be happy with that level of froggage.
No, and the flies as well. Like, you think, oh, they're slightly annoying. But isn't there, like, a bit where one guy's just swarmed by so many flies he dies?
Yeah, at least.
Like, I don't know why they put that in, because, like... There's points where Pharaoh's like 3 flies around him, he's covered in a mask, and one guy that's literally got millions of flies on him, like, yep, this is who we eat today, guys. Nom, 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 nom. Your sacrifice is accepted.
They're organised. Buzzing, yep. But yeah, that's good. I liked the plague scene in Exodus.
Yeah.
I liked that was pretty good. Let's have a look. The Red Sea, that's another part of the...
Yeah,
the Moses story. That's pretty important.
A wee bit important.
It's up there on the important scale. So, Pharaoh. We skipped over one. So it was pretty, like in the film where they killed all the firstborns. That was pretty well done, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's like in Noah. If Noah, the guys with Noah that were making this film, they would have shown you the faces of every person that died, and then they would have like had an hour of people crying, and they would have really like tried to hammer home like this is a terrible thing that's happened. In this film they acknowledge that it was a bad thing,
yep, sort of It's quite interesting to do that because they just less sort of heavy-handed. Went over and then they just stopped breathing and then moved on to the next.
I find it really like because it's good. You can read the Bible and not get a, you can read it without get like fully realizing like how like terrible like things are and without getting the human cost because this wouldn't have worked if like this wouldn't like it's God's plan wouldn't have worked if this. If it hadn't have been horrible, like it's like forced to the point where he had to do this.
That's the point as well, because like in all the plagues, it shows you the cost to the actual Israelites, because it wasn't just this is only affecting Pharaoh and the Egyptian people, but you're seeing as the crops are destroyed that are owned by the Israelites, and you're seeing how they're suffering through everything as well, which I thought was quite a almost a yes, it's happening, but it's happening to everyone.
Because you can talk, what. The other film would have done is just focused on what a terrible God for doing this. What a terrible, this is just horrible. And then, but like, this isn't a story about how, like, this isn't a story about that. This is a story of like 400 years of slavery and then how they get free. Yeah. And it wouldn't have made, like, if this is a story, there's no way this story ends without people dying. So, like, even if the filmmakers just think this is a story, but I think they handled it really well. It wasn't like, I'm going to hammer you over the head with how horrible this is. This is, like, poignant moments. Like, when Pharaoh was holding up his child.
Yeah.
Like, that was horrible, wasn't it? Like, I didn't like that at all, but, like, it made me feel like, oh, yeah, that would have been horrible.
It was really well acted as well, because if it was just
and again
badly acted, it would have lost so much.
And I think that adds something to the way I read my Bible, so that's really good, because now I'm not when I read that in the Bible next time, I'm not just going to go and they killed the firstborn of the Egyptians and then move on to the next one. I'm going to remember that and think, oh, that's a serious thing that's happened there. That's important to realise that there was a cost to that that verse and that happened in the Bible. So I like that. Like, I didn't like it. That's one of the new like buttons, which is
a reaction face.
Yeah, I reaction faced that.
I open mouthed, slightly surprised, looked that.
Yeah. You got it.
I'm making that up, but that'll work.
Is that one of them?
I have no idea. I've never used them. I thought of them.
I thought both films did that as well. For a 50s film, they also did like. They also did like the death of the firstborn well in the old one, or it might be partially because they used like the person they used, the kid they used would have been about 5, and that's how old DJ is. So like he picks him up and puts him on an altar and like is praying for him, like to his Egyptian gods, him bring him back, and like I'm looking at him thinking, man, that would be horrible. That would be the worst. But good in both films, and like I said, I think Exodus is a better film because it doesn't like claim that there's not something horrible that's happened, but it also doesn't go out of its way to make it like,
why do you support this?
Yeah, people? Like it's not as heavy handed, and that's great.
And then you sort of get onto the Red Sea scene.
The Red Sea scene,
which is
slightly different from the Bible, because in Exodus, he chucks his sword in, goes to sleep, and then by the morning,
instead of the water even splitting, it's just sort of gone. Low-level water that suddenly disappears.
And then it does disappear, and we don't see how.
And then comes back as giant waves.
And there's a plug hole just around the corner.
Before it disappears, he starts marching all the like millions of people through it. And I'm thinking, if you're at the front of that, you've got to be thinking, but it doesn't look.
It's getting deeper. What?
It's still pretty deep, guys.
Yeah. So he's properly wading through it.
They've got the tiny little like goats,
like tiny little children as well.
But like the goat, they see when goats go through, they're thinking those goats are going to get washed away. They aren't big enough to get through there. Anyway,
but there's the interesting bit as well, where Pharaoh's riding with his army on a precarious edge of a cliff, and the character earlier that hates Christian Bale in particular, or Moses as you may think.
Hates Christian Bale.
Hates Batman.
Yeah.
But as they're riding along, and that guy sort of falls off the edge of his cart, tries to make the cart behind him stop because he doesn't quite figure out how momentum works. He thinks, I am a powerful guy, stop. And then you just watch as most of his army falls off a cliff edge in a massive avalanche. Then somehow reappears again, fine and dandy, in the next scene.
Yeah,
they don't really explain how... Because there's like, what, five carts in front and then a massive avalanche.
Disaster behind, yeah.
And even if most survived, like behind that, a massive army, their road is gone. It is just pure cliff face now that's just collapsed. And the next scene, he's got a massive army ready to cross.
Still there, yeah. It's good. But yeah, they all get across. That's good.
Yeah.
The scene with the wall of water was fine, if not stolen from every disaster film that has an asteroid hit the Earth. But
yeah.
that was fine. It's pretty good. I think it's not this film's fault that I've seen that before.
What I found was almost trying to push the how far fetched it was a bit. Is the whole of Pharaoh's army sort of retreats away, and they get quite far back. Ramses himself carries on forward, and then when the wave hits, there's a massive distance between them. Yet somehow him, being a lot closer to the other side, survives, gets back to shore with everyone else dead.
Yeah.
Quite a massive distance between them.
Also,
you would have expected a few more survivors.
Moses and Pharaoh are in the middle. They get absolutely smashed by a wave.
And end up on both sides fine.
Not a tiny wave, like a massive wave. A death wave, we could call it. And they both survive. How is this?
Mm. Fair enough, the whole idea that God was with Moses.
What about the other guy?
Yeah.
The question is, though, were they both dry or soaking wet when you saw them?
I think they were quite witty, but it's fine.
Well, Pharaoh sort of had witty, half a face of sand.
They had a dry humour. I'm not feeling very much.
I hadn't realised.
Yeah, I'm keeping it to myself. Not the cold, I'm letting you have that, but...
Dan hopes you get worse.
Yeah, I do. He does.
Which Dan?
Yeah. The work one doesn't. So yeah, they both get across. And then they chisel...
Well, first he goes and finds his family that he left behind with a massive amount of Israelites just there, like, hey, we're with this guy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, these are my people.
It's like if I went away, like, okay, I'm going for a weekend away. I came back with, like, a rugby team to our house, like,
yeah
you, we're moving.
These were like me going back to Doncaster, rocking it back, like, oh, I've brought the whole of Yorkshire back with me. I hope that's all right. Yeah.
She'd have probably felt a bit of pressure to go, let's be real. But can't you just stay here? Well, I've kind of told my friends that we're going to go to the promised land.
Do you want to find some rooms for these guys? Because we're going to have to look after them if we don't go.
I've made some promises I can't go back on, guys. Yeah, bless them. And then, yeah, chisels the Ten Commandments in tiny little tablets.
Yep. Has a final conversation with little child God. And they sort of look at the golden bull, but if you were a non-Christian or hadn't read the story, you wouldn't really know what that was alluding to, other than there's a bunch of people and there was some sort of gold bull that seemed to be on fire.
Well, in the other film, they cover it completely.
Okay.
So it's, and this is the scene that I remember as a child, but I didn't remember how silly it is, because so the story is he goes up the mountain. And he goes up for so long, let's talk to us, 40 days or something like that. And the Israelites go, well, he's obviously dead. Let's build our own God. And they make a gold bull. And they sin against God. And then Moses comes down. And
breaks his tablets in the bull and has to do it again.
Well, in the Ten Commandments, the bit where they sin is funny just because it's like just adults... doing nonsense, like, so they're all just like do crazy dancing and stuff like that. Not, this is a real thing. I had to rewind it to watch it to make sure I was right. There's a bit where there's a woman pouring wine into a guy lounge back, pouring wine into the guy's mouth, and he's lounge back. Then a man comes along, takes the woman away, and then another man comes along and puts a leek in the guy's mouth. as in like a vegetable leek. Just comes in and pops it in his mouth, and then so that happens, and because they've sinned. Obviously, that's a very sinful thing to do.
Yeah, putting a leek in someone's
mouth. Don't pour wine in and then put a leek in someone's mouth. That's very sinful.
I better pray forgiveness then.
There's a woman who like a guy like wearing a lion's pelt, and a woman just riding him. It's all like that. Like, we're sinning.
So basically, are you saying that most theatre clubs are actually better sin?
Yeah.
Like, you're pretending to be animals. You're sinning. You're not a lion.
It's just like they're going, we're being sinful. Have a leak. Most sinful of all stew vegetables.
So, I am a lion. Roar. Yeah.
No, you're just lying to yourself.
Yeah. Best joke ever.
It's the fact that he went for a lion bar after.
A visual component to it. Great work.
So how can we bring this this sitting with a leak into church?
Yeah. So, well,
we can't. We don't want to like that in our church.
Whatever you do, do not Google sinning with a leak. You don't want to see the results. I've not done it. I'm just going to assumptively assume that you're not going to get some good stuff from that. Don't Google that.
It's all about people just disrespecting their parents by waving leeks
yes,
at them.
Yes, that'll be it, yeah.
Worshipping leeks, it's terrible.
So, when Moses comes down, in the Bible, I've looked, and this is one of those sad situations like earlier, when a film, I've assumed that things in a film have been in the Bible, and they haven't.
It's Prince of Thieves.
So he comes down, and they have a big argument, Moses, and he gets mad, and he throws the tablets at the calf, and the tablets explode. And then the ground opens up and swallows up the golden calf. And then that's the end of it. And I, for years, because I saw this as a child, thought, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what's in the Bible. Must be. It's in that film. It's in the film. And then I've just built that. And then when I looked, what happens is, in Exodus 32, they come down and Moses has to put things right. There's a fight and loads of people die. Basically 3,000 people die from it. But it's more from like sword fighting.
Yeah.
No, like, weaponized stone tablets.
These magical grenade tablets he has.
Yeah. So it's not... It's still like, people die and it's not cool, but, like, it's not like, I will smite you with my stone tablets! And he... Yeah. That's a thing from the film. Which is ridiculous when you think about it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Maybe they would have made like, thermite. That would have worked. Thermite tablets, and he just didn't know. Just coming all the way down. Just be careful with those, Moses. I'll be fine.
It was like some cesium, and the ball was a bit liquidized. So as soon as they threw it,
yeah. These could all be things. Probably not, though.
Science.
So, I thought Ten Commandments, the old one, was great. What I liked about it is it was very like earnest. Like, it's the kind of film that you couldn't make today, just because I think everyone who's writing the film and everyone who's making the film really, they were very earnest. So it came off as like very grand in a 50s way. Like, you could tell that the person telling the story really was like Christian. He wanted to get the message across.
Yep.
So it was a bit overacted. It was a bit campy, but it was fine. And it was a really nice film. I actually really enjoyed it.
It's actually rated 7.9 out of 10, which is higher than all the films we've seen so far.
Yeah, it's a really good film. If you can get past how, like, achingly earnest it is, it just really wants you to, like, get into the story, and so over the top. Like, there's massive, like, monologues in this film, and they're incredible, just, like, read by this guy. YouTube, and they're incredible. But, like, yeah, really nice film. Exodus, I thought was okay as well.
Yeah.
I file it under could have been loads worse, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Could have been Noah.
Definitely better than Noah, yeah. There's a few bits you want to tweak.
What? Yeah. My stomach just really grumbled. I think it might have been caught by the mic.
It was. I could hear it in my headphones. I don't know how loud it was.
Wow, that's incredible. I hope that was my stomach. Go on.
Lying outside the door. Floss, what was going on now?
We were talking about Exodus and how... I think it could have been worse. I think they made a film and they did it as... They did it as straight up as they can these days.
Yeah.
And it was fine. I quite enjoyed it. It was alright.
It's one of those where I wouldn't have seen it at the cinema. No. But it's alright if you catch it on TV or...
That's the end of the show. We need to switch seats because you've got to read this.
Because
you're the host today. You got
to... Swap it over.
Yeah.
You could have just turned the laptop around.
No, I prefer this.
Hello? Oh... I'm here.
Yeah.
So, the sign-off for today's show. This has been the Big Small Talk Show, as you probably realise as you're this far into the episode. We would like to say...
You've got a really squeaky seat.
I do. So, if you heard what sounded like fart sounds the whole way through, just me trying to not...
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. I've been set up. I've been framed.
Oh, dear.
But if you'd like to let us know what you thought of the show, just visit us at www.bigsmalltalkshop. The Big Small Talk Shop.
Do you know what the best thing about that is? It's on the screen. Usually, I just do that thing off the top of my head, man. You've got it on the screen.
So I think the big problem is there's a microphone in front of me. So I saw the big small and then .com. So the Big Small Talk Show.
It's okay, man. I'll edit this out. It'll be fine.
Thanks, Dave. Dan hates Dave.
The Big Small. I should have done that, right? Dan hates Dave.
Oh, yeah, I was again. So let's not go on any more tangent, guys. www.bigsmalltalkshow.
Actually, last time we go on circles and then come back to tangents.
I wasn't on that show. You didn't invite me, so I'm going to do my...
Union rules. You can't have more than
if
2 months.
If you want to let us know what you think, please just visit the website or send us an email at bigsmalltalkshow@gmail.com. The Kickstarter is still there. We're not putting it anywhere else. It's 20 more days or something like that.
18
more days, 14 days, certain amount of days.
Since we last checked.
The link will be there. Please give us money so we can have a website. Pretty please.
Yay.
So the show is available on iTunes and a little site called Stitcher that I have no clue what it is.
Stitcher is if you've got an Android phone. Oh. You can get it on iOS as well, but it's internet radio.
Oh.
So it's you go to your app store, type in Stitcher, and then type in the Big Small Talk Show, and you can listen to all of our episodes on Stitcher as well as on iTunes.
Fair play.
Okay. So last thing,
we need to be rated on iTunes as well. So if you like the show, this is something we never say.
We want to be
true.
Please rate us and leave comments, but only positive comments. I don't want negative ones.
If you have a negative comment, send it to our email.
If you have a negative comment, write it on a piece of paper and then burn it, and we'll get it that way.
And then pray about it.
Yeah, pray about it.
So if you don't hate the show, please share it on Facebook and Twitters and whatnot.
Twitters!
If you Twitters and Brucey Knowledge.
Yeah.
Throwback.
Also, so the podcast get posted onto my Facebook. So if you're listening to this, could you repost onto yours as well? Because then we can spread our listenership to the whole universe.
The listenership.
Sean Connery.
We're going to spread the listenership.
No, Junior. We're called the dog.
In true Christian fashion, we really want to shove this podcast down people's throats.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We do want to share the good news about the Big Small Talk Show.
Show. To finish off, we've got an Easter schedule. So at One Church Gloucester, which is where we are, there's a few things happening over Easter. We thought we'd let you know of a few of them if you wanted to stop by. If you don't live in Gloucester, don't feel pressured. If you do live in Gloucester, bit of pressure. So what we've got going is Good Friday, which is Friday the 25th.
Yes.
I think we've got a service at 9:15, another one at 11:15. Just a nice service to cover basically what happened to Jesus, which isn't very nice. We've got another service on the 27th on Good Friday.
You've already done
Easter
Good Friday.
Sunday, in which we're basically wrapping up the Easter story, just touching on that. That's at the same time. We've got a few different things. A thing called Ridiculous Chris, which is a family pantomime. It's on, I think, April the 1st, Friday, April 1st at 7:30 at One Church Gloucester. Basically, it's a family event. Bring them along. You can book online at the One Church Gloucester website.
This is One Church.
This is onechurch.com. Basically, book the tickets, bring your family, invite your friends. Invite your friends. It's just going to be a great comedy pantomime thing.
We promise it'll be better than this comedy pantomime thing that you've been listening to today.
None of us are involved in the funny side, so don't worry about that. And I think that's probably it. Thank you for joining us on today's show. I've been Matt Fry. That's been Dave. Bless you. Kirk's over there laughing away to himself. We'd love to have you listening again on the next show, which will be in a fortnight's time. Not quite sure what it might be. Might be the next Redefine one. Might not be. Who knows? Find out next time. Bye-bye.